Welcome to the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast, a ministry of the Wasatch Hills Seventh-day Adventist Church with Pastor Bernie Anderson. Our prayer is that what you hear will inspire, equip, and perhaps introduce you to a new walk with Jesus Christ.
I want to continue this morning with our series, our current series. We're talking about spiritual life. And the idea behind this series is that God, in his gift to humanity, comes alongside of us. And it's actually caught up in Galatians 5:25. And would you read this with me, just as we get going here? It says this, 1, 2, 3. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So this idea is that when we are reconciled to God, when we come back into relationship with God because of his Spirit, God not only resides in us, but then he allows us to do life in such a way that honors and pleases him. So you remember last week I talked about how we distinguish Christian spirituality from all other kinds of spirituality. Does anyone remember what the distinguishing mark between Christianity or Christian spirituality and other spiritualities might be? For $1,000 that we'll give to the school. No, the distinguishing mark, just remember this, we'll go back to it all through the series. The distinguishing mark is obedience to Jesus Christ himself, right? In other words, all other spiritualities serve something, worship something, are obedient to something. We're very clear about who that someone is, and that is Jesus Christ. Because there's all sorts of spiritualities floating around in the culture today, right? People worship all sorts of things. They devote themselves to all things. They are empowered by some sort of a spirit, right? And so there's all sorts of spiritualities, but the identifying mark of Christian spirituality is that we fall in line with what God is doing in the world, how God is working, his character as described in the Bible, right? And we begin to mimic that. And it's not really us doing it, because that'd just be behavior, us following a set of rules, but it's actually his Spirit working in us. So this idea of walking in the Spirit is what this whole series is about. And we're going to talk about a number of different things. But the thing I want to talk about this morning, which is so critical, are you guys, like, awake? All right, good, 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 good. I know it's a holiday and all, and that's cool. God is good? And all the time? I just got to know you're out there. It helps me. So as we go through this series, we're going to talk a lot about God's Spirit operating within our spirits, forming us, shaping us into the obedient disciples that he wants us to become. One of the things I read this week is that is a quote from a book, and I can't give the author credit because I can't remember. I read it and I filed it away and I got rid of the book or something. I don't know. But he said this about prayer. He said, Prayer is the breath of spiritual life. Prayer is the breath of spiritual life. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about prayer. Prayer being the breath of spiritual life. So, do you remember when you were a kid and you sit in the backseat of the car, you're on a long trip, and you had a brother or sister or cousin or somebody else who was with you, or you just played by yourself? But you played the hold your breath game. Right? Did you ever play the hold your breath game? You guys were no fun. What? What did you do? Everyone played the hold your breath game, right? So you get back there with your brother, sister, cousin, whoever, and you go, take a deep breath, and hold it. But you would cheat, right? Because you run out of breath in about 10 seconds. You're like, I'm not breathing. I'm really not. And so it was, you know, it's the hold your breath game. You count to see who could hold it the longest. And I remember getting a little bit older and realizing, my cousins would tell me, say, if you hold your breath long enough, you'll like pass out and die. So I was always terrified that I was going to, well, I'm not going to win because I don't want to die, you know. I'm not going to win the contest. In the same vein, if indeed we aren't breathing in our spiritual lives, if we're not breathing prayerfully, if you will, then ultimately we will die spiritually. It's as vital to us as the air we breathe when we walk around each and every day. Prayer is the breath of spiritual life. And if you aren't breathing, then ultimately, something's going to happen. You may not be with us anymore. And so this idea of prayer being the breath of life was so powerful to me. And it speaks to the idea and the notion that it's so incredibly vital and important to our lives. But very often when you come and you hear a sermon on prayer, you always walk away going, man, I need to pray more, right? You always sort of walk away with this guilt of, I don't pray enough, or I'm not praying the right way. I should really keep my eyes closed when I pray, or I've got to pray early in the morning, because remember, God only hears between the hours of 5 a.m. and 7 a.m., right? All right? So we get caught up in this sort of pressure of doing prayer as opposed to perhaps understanding what I believe Scripture teaches us about prayer. So right away, I want you to dispel this notion of when we come to this message of you being burdened with the notion that I need to pray more. It very well may be true, but I want you to go away empowered to pray. Desiring to pray, longing to pray. I don't want you going away thinking of all the shoulda, couldas, ought to be doings that very often we preachers put on you. Because that's not helping spiritual life. That's destroying spiritual life, man. Do you need one more thing to do? Do you want to be burdened with anything else? No. But in fact, spiritual life should be something that allows us to flourish, right? Something that we love, something that we embrace, something that we're drawn to, something that just makes us feel like we're closer to the God that we serve. So hopefully as we walk away from that, as we walk away from this message, that's what will happen. Read it again with me if you would. 1, 2, 3. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. All right, let me take you to a quote now that I want you to read with me. Sort of keys in on that idea and that theme of prayer being the breath of spiritual life. It says this from Steps to Christ. I shared it last week. Great quote, though. In the matchless gift of His Son, God has encircled the entire world with an atmosphere of grace. Grace. Amazing grace. As real as the air which circulates around the globe. All who choose to breathe this life-giving atmosphere will live and grow up to the stature of men and women in Christ Jesus. Amen? So you see there, God implants His Spirit within us, and then God not only just sits idly by, but God begins to empower us to live and to go about our lives in a different way, in which we begin to be formed in His image, and we begin to look like Him, live like Him, love like Him, do like Him. We can laugh at the prayer, but at the same time, we're all guilty of praying the same prayer. Now, I know you're thinking, no, I've never prayed a prayer like that. Think about it. Think about that early morning prayer where you're just barely awake, and all that's filtering, coming through your mind are the things that you've heard in church. You've heard the elder give a really long prayer, and you've latched on to some of his verbiage, and you use that in your own prayer, right? We do it. There's a Jesus speak that we have that we all invoke into our vocabulary with God, and we often say those things. And sometimes they come out rhyming. Sometimes they come out sounding very religious. Now, I'm not questioning the sincerity of the heart. I'm just saying that very often we talk differently when we come into the presence of God, right? It is true in our interpersonal relationships. There's one way that we talk to people when they're standing in front of us. There's another way that we talk to people if they're not with us. There's a way that we talk about people when they're not around us, or there's a way that we talk when certain people aren't around us, right? And so I think what the most powerful thing is that I'm learning about prayer and praying is that God wants us to always pray with a sense that He is present. Always pray in such a way that we're okay with Him being present. In other words, you don't have to change the way you talk to pray to God. You don't have to come up with some new vocabulary, some vocabulary that sounds very religious and you quote the Bible in it. And you've heard those prayers where people preach a sermon in it. I mean, they start with a text. Then they have like 5 points. And then they close. It's a sermon, right? You've even heard me repeat my sermons in the prayer for emphasis, right? And so very often we change the way that we talk. When in reality, what I'm finding is that God is more interested in a heartfelt conversation with you and me. In other words, when we come into his presence, he says, don't change the way you talk. Don't change the way you are. Come as you are. Come authentically, completely as the person that you are. Amen. Come with all the junk that you have. Come with all the stuff that you've done, everything that you are. Just come before me and begin to talk to me. So I've come up with this. You guys can bring my slides back. I'm going to need those in a minute. I'll keep going. But there's a way that God invites us to interact with him. Life in the Spirit is relationship with God, right? That's what life in the Spirit is. So God, by his Spirit, draws us into relationship. He reconciles us with himself. And then as we walk in this life, as we live in this life, there are things that we do to get the breath flowing through us, so to speak. One of those things is prayer. And the most powerful thing that God invites us to do is simply to come authentically before him with whatever words that we have. That's nothing against the prepared prayer. That's nothing against people who take the time to write out a prayer or even to read scripture prayers. You can go to the book of Psalms and there are people who pray the scriptures. There's nothing wrong with that. But just in our day-to-day walk with God, God says, come as you are, come with all that you are and all the junk that you have, and just pray. In other words, this is what I want you to hear. This is what prayer is, my little personal definition. Prayer is humble, constant, heart-engaged conversation with God. Did you catch that? Let me say it one more time. Prayer is humble, constant, heart-engaged conversation with God. So, as we think about this spirit walk, as we think about spiritual life, as we think about prayer being the breath of spiritual life, we come humbly before God. There's a story in Scripture. Go to Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Luke chapter 18. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 18. And it's verses 9 through 14. This is absolutely critical, I think. Humility, humbleness before God is absolutely critical. So, verse 18, this is the story, it's the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. So it says there, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. He says, two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And then Jesus finishes off. He says, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So we come before God in prayer humbly. Not just with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, but with our hearts bowed, acknowledging the fact that God is God and I am not. Great song by Stephen Curtis Chapman. Love that song. God is God, I am not. And so often we come before God, and it becomes about me. It becomes about how eloquent I can speak. It becomes about how many Bible verses I can quote in my prayer. In other words, I try to come before God, and I put on that same facade that I put on in front of the people that I interact with to try and control what God is thinking or to try and control what others are thinking about me. And God says, no, that doesn't work. And the notion that we could actually hide behind some sort of a facade with God is sort of silly, right? Rather, God says, no, just come. Come as you are. Come as the broken, messed up person that you are. Come vulnerable before me. Enter my presence and just bow your heart and your head, acknowledging that I am God, acknowledging that God is present. Here's a little bit of an example of a prayer of authenticity, someone who's real. It's a prayer written by Shel Silverstein. He's a poet, and it's a great prayer. It's called the Prayer of the Selfish Child. Listen to this. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my toys to break so that none of the other kids can use them. Come authentically before God. In other words, God can handle your anger. God can handle your frustrations. God can handle even your prayer to break the toys. Doesn't mean God's going to do it, you understand. But the point is, sometimes we come before God and we're pretending in the same way that we pretend in front of real people. And God says, that's not praying. That's not praying. That's just sort of going through the motions. So God calls us to this authentic, humble, wholehearted prayer life in which we come vulnerable, naked before God. Acknowledging the fact that God is present, that God is real, that God is powerful and able to act in any circumstance. In Jewish culture, they always muttered prayers. They were constantly in prayer. That's why Paul picks up the theme in the New Testament. He says, pray without ceasing. And some people have taken that to mean that they should give like 10 to 15, 20 minute prayers, and that's not necessarily what it means. But what it does mean is that we can always be in the presence of God, and therefore God is always accessible to us, and therefore we can always pray to God. We never stop the conversation. We never cut God off. God is always there. When our second daughter, Brooklyn, when Brooklyn was born, she was very, very, very ill. She was our seminary baby. The joke among pastors is that you always have a seminary baby. If you go to Andrews University, it's always cold in the winter, and you got nothing else to do. So you always have seminary baby, right? You can laugh. It's okay. So you have these, you know, you always have a seminary baby. And our seminary baby was born just before we left, Brooklyn, our second child. But when she was born, she was quite ill. In fact, you could tell there was a problem the minute she came into this world. So they laid baby Brooklyn up on the chest of mommy Christina, and we could tell that she wasn't breathing very well. And so they took her right away. They put her on the chest, and for about 5 seconds, we looked at her. She didn't look the right. She just wasn't right. She wasn't good. So they took her right away to the neonatal intensive care unit. That's where she would spend the next week. But immediately, from the moment we recognized, we acknowledged that there was a problem, I just started to pray. Now, I didn't stop and kneel, you know, and say, oh, Heavenly Father. You know, that would have probably been okay since I was a pastor guy, but I didn't do that. I just sort of said, God, I know you're here. I know you're present. I know you never leave me nor forsake me. I know you know more than I do about the situation, but I just want to acknowledge the fact that you are God. And you can take care of anything, any circumstance, any situation. And I really want this little precious second baby of ours, seminary baby, to be okay. That was the prayer. That's all he did. And you know what? As much as we get down on ourselves about not praying, you pray a whole lot more than what you think. Don't you? You just whisper a prayer. Why? Because there's something in us that says that God is right here. God is always present. So I don't need to do anything special to invoke God's presence. He's already there. I just need to open up the conversation or continue the conversation that we started earlier in the day. God is always there. We come before him with everything that we are, whatever circumstance that arises, and we just start talking to him. It's a constant conversation with God. So don't get down on yourself. We pray a lot more than what we think. We lift up prayers when we're facing something that we're not real sure about. There's this other dynamic that goes on in our prayer lives, too, that I hope we can get over. All right, we just get over it this morning. Say it with me. I'm going to get over it. Thank you. All right. There's this thing that we get caught up in, and that's a sense of guilt at the fact that I haven't communicated or prayed to God. And so therefore, I feel like I must do something to make myself deserve or be able to come back to God to pray. You follow that? Right? And I feel bad. I've been away from God. I haven't talked to God. And so, you know, I just sort of think, well, what good can I do to make up for the fact that I haven't talked to God? And then I'm worthy to go back before God and ask him for something or pray to God about a problem that's in my life. And all I got to say is, that's really messed up, okay? In other words, God is not keeping score. Well, today, so-and-so didn't spend any time with me, so he is that much further away from me, and therefore, I'm going to ignore him. No. God says, I'm always right there, man. I'll hear you. I'm not going to leave you. You can whisper that. And I really believe that it's not about this. I've been behaving good, so I've earned a green card to go and stand before God and pray. It's not, man. But sometimes we live with this load of guilt. I turn around, it's the end of the week. It comes, you know, maybe it's Friday, and I'm thinking, oh, the Sabbath is coming. I haven't prayed. I haven't done any sort of interaction with God. And we're sort of burdened with this load of guilt. I'm just saying, get over it, man. God is always there. He doesn't want you to have a load of guilt. Let me keep going. The second thing that is constant. If you go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything. That's what Kevin quoted or read this morning. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Philippians 4, 6. It's constant, always ongoing. I had a situation last week where I was very anxious about something going on in my world and in our world as a family. And I had been praying about it and just sort of in conversation with God and out months away, I was just sort of praying, God. And it could have a financial impact. It could have like legal ramifications and all this sort of thing. I was really quite nervous. And I'm the guy that never gets nervous. Christina gets nervous. She worries about everything. I don't worry about anything, right? I was worried. You know, I felt really burdened by this. And so I was just praying. The day came, and I was just praying. God, are you going to show up? And I'm okay if you don't, because it's cool, because you're God. And God showed up in a big way. Yeah. And I tell you, it was just so awesome to know that God heard me. And I didn't stop, man. I was praying while everything was going down. I'm just praying. In other words, there's this constant, consistent praying that goes on, this ongoing conversation. Prayer is humble, constant, heart-engaged conversation with God. And that's the next thing. Heart-engaged. Is your heart really in it? Is your heart really in it? Does prayer come out of a heart that is seeking God? Or does prayer just sort of become this thing that I know I'm supposed to do? There's a big difference. Scripture says in Jeremiah 29:13, it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. With everything that you are, man. Whatever it is, whatever problem may occur, whatever situation or circumstance, you can be in conversation with God from the heart. If you're struggling with relationship, if you're struggling with someone, if you're saying, because the Bible actually says, pray for your enemies. Whew. Can you come up with the words to pray for your enemies? Someone that you're struggling with, someone that you're in conflict with, someone who you cannot stand, and pray for them. Whoa. God says, bring your whole heart. Bring all the junk. Bring all the stuff. And bring it before me in prayer. So true prayer, authentic prayer, is a matter of the heart. Again, Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. There's no such thing as half-hearted prayer. Half-hearted prayer just simply isn't praying. It's going through the religious motions that we all get sort of caught up in. And finally, conversation, listening and speaking. Very often we go to God with a lot of words because we like to talk. And we enjoy hearing ourselves talk, maybe some too much. But very often, perhaps, we need to go before God and understand that it is conversation, and therefore it involves listening and speaking. Do you ever go before God and just are still before Him and you listen for Him to speak? You ever go into His presence, not with a prepared proposal of what you need God to do or how you need God to act in your life, but you just go before Him and you listen. You're in conversation, so you just talk. You think of the picture of God in relationship with His people in the book of Genesis. God has these ongoing conversations with Adam and Eve. I imagine the earlier conversations are better than that one in Genesis chapter 3, where God is walking in the cool of the day, and He says, hey, where are you guys at? And Adam responds. And so that's not the greatest conversation because sin has entered the world. But nevertheless, you think of how they walked together. And the Bible paints this picture of other people in Scripture who walked with God. And those aren't just silent walks. Those are conversations that are happening. There's a relational dynamic that goes on with Enoch and with Moses and with Elisha and all these Bible people. There's a conversation. Prayer is happening. There's a walk with God. There's a spiritual dynamic that's happening. And so I pray that we would, again, come away from this morning not feeling a greater burden to pray, but perhaps knowing that God wants us to be in relationship with Him. And one of the best ways to do that is simply acknowledging the fact that He is present and then starting the conversation. And you don't have to make up clever words. You don't have to sound like you know everything. You don't even have to sound like you're the best Christian. You can go to God and say pretty much whatever you want. I'm trusting that God is big enough that He can handle it. That He can handle it. All right. I want you to remember those four things. These things. Prayer is humble, constant, heart-engaged conversation with God. It means humility. It's constant. It's heart engaged. You bring everything before God. It's conversation with God. It's a matter of the heart. Don't forget that. And I want to finish with this. My first few years as a pastor, I was a youth pastor in Arlington, Texas. And first, right out of college, I was there for about 4 years, went to seminary, came back to the same church. But in those first couple of years, we had a young girl at our academy. We had a K-12 academy there, Burton Academy. She became very, very ill. And she went home after school one day and wasn't feeling well. She thought it was a flu. Turns out it was meningitis, really bad meningitis. They put her in the hospital that night, and she was in critical condition. They said, no, she's not going to make it. She's going to die. And all the young people from that academy gathered together, went to the hospital waiting room. They're outside of the ICU or the CCU, one of those, and they just start praying. I had never seen anything like this before, ever. I didn't go to the school and say, hey, I'm going to go to the church, you know, and the pastor, I'm going to rally the troops to go pray at the hospital. I did none of that. These kids, the older high school kids, got in their cars, piled them full of kids like they were going to a movie, but they were going to the hospital to pray. And these kids got there, they just took over the whole waiting room. The nurses, the doctors, everybody sort of standing around going, what in the world is going on? And these kids just started talking to each other, and then they started praying and talking to God. And whatever words came to their minds, they used them. they just talked to God. And it was so powerful to see that happen. Now, we don't know what's going to happen, right? We don't know if this young lady's going to make it. We don't know if she's not going to make it. We're not trying to manipulate God either way. We want God to do his thing, and we're going to be okay with that. But what spoke to me and what continues to speak to me is the fact that these kids went before God acknowledging that he is present, that he is powerful, that he is real. Sometimes I wonder if we really believe that. Because very often our first notion isn't to go to God. It's to go to something else, man. But these kids said, no, we're going to go to God. Because he's bigger than meningitis. He's bigger than whatever we could ever face. And he hears us. He's present. He's present. He promises never to leave us. So I can take whatever to him. These kids just prayed. And this young lady made it through the first night. She made it through the second night. And lo and behold, all the doctors and nurses who said she's not going to make it, she's going to die, became convinced that, well, something has happened here. And she's going to make it. And sure enough, a couple of weeks later, her name was Sean. Sean walked out of that hospital room, and she was fine. But again, the thing I take away from that is, yes, it was awesome miracle that God performed. We are grateful that she was alive. But what I take from that is just the fact that kids, young people, whose spiritual development is still coming along, just like the rest of us, but perhaps is even less mature than ours because they're just young, had the spiritual aptitude to say that we need to take this before God because God's bigger than anything. And when everything looks hopeless and when everything seems like there's no way, we know that God hears us because he's always present. We can bring anything before him. I pray that you would approach God in the same way. Your heart totally vulnerable and open to him with whatever you have going on. Even if you haven't talked to him in months. Even if you've said terrible things, awful things, and you've done awful things. I'm believing that God is bigger than all those things. Father, thank you that we can come before you. Thank you that by the power of your Spirit, God, you move us to seek you, to come into your presence, to interact and to be reconciled to you, God, so that we can know real life, so we can be brought back to spiritual life. And God, one of the ways that we're able to breathe and have life is through prayer. And may it not be a burden for us, God, but may it be this ongoing conversation in your presence where we humbly bring whatever it is before you. All our selfishness, all of our pride, all of the junk that we collect in our hearts, God, may we not be afraid to bring it before you. And we pray that you would move in such a way as to change our characters and to recreate us anew. Thank you, God. We pray these things in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast. For information about the Wasatch Hills Church, please visit us on the internet at www.wasatchhills.org, or you may email Pastor Bernie Anderson at pastor@wasatchhills.org.